turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Start in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Let's commit these words to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reality of this passage of Scripture. Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us. Lord, we thank you for the way in which you have served us. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which you humbled yourself and became a man. Humbled yourself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Lord, we are truly blessed beyond what we can possibly comprehend. We don't fully understand what you did for us. But Lord, we are blessed beyond measure. Help us to see in a greater way what you have done, Lord. Help us to see you in a greater way this morning. Help us to see your heart, your mind, what you desire. Help us to see you, Lord. Please open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, this morning. Send your Holy Spirit to help us to see these spiritual truths in a way that would bring change. Help us, O God. We need your help. Help us to be able to set aside the cares of the day and focus on you and you alone. May we worship you in this time. May we worship you, Lord, as we listen. Change us, O God, we pray. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we started off in chapter 2 looking at how a servant's heart was encouraged by Paul. He's preaching, starting in verse 27 of chapter 1, he begins preaching and encouraging us to be faithful in our Christian living, trying to encourage us to be fearless in our Christian living, and ultimately for the result of being fruitful. And we see that here in chapter 2, where there's fruitfulness in service, serving one another's. Serving one another's comes in the form of it helps. It will result from us being like-minded and humble-minded, as we saw last Sunday. But it's good for us, it's necessary for us to maintain perspective. For me to live as Christ, it's good for us to remember and focus on the reality of verse 1 of chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Since these are true, since there is so much encouragement in Christ, since His love has such tremendous persuasiveness, since the Holy Spirit brings us all together in such wonderful fellowship, and since there is so much tender affection and mercy in Christianity, we should all be able to get along in happy harmony with one another. Should be able to do that. Since these things are true, since you are in Christ, we are a spiritual family. There should be harmony as we are Christ's followers. Our faithfulness in private leads to fruitfulness in public. We must understand the great need of our private devotional life with God. How important it is that we are diligent in our private life with God. That manifests itself in public fruitfulness. Serving others. Since these things are true, these foundational truths, don't forget about them. Today, Paul draws our attention to the greatest example of being a servant, Christ Himself. He led by example. He led by example. So this morning, as we look at these verses here, let us consider the bulk of what I'd like us to see here this morning is the characteristics of Christ's mindset, really revealing His heart. How did Christ example for us a servant's heart? Let's first look at the magnitude of Christ in verse 6, the first part of verse 6, and then we'll come back and we'll grab verse 5 and bring it right in. But verse 6, we read, who being in the form of God. Verse 5 tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. The magnitude of Christ. Who is He? He's God. He's God. The form, the word form speaks of His inner nature. It's the unchanging reality of someone. It's who you are deep down in the core. We are human beings. That's something that will never change. You will always be a human being, will you not? Jesus Christ was in the form of God. He was God. He is, He was, and is God. Christ's deity is the utmost importance when we consider our Christian faith. The fact that Jesus is God is of utmost importance, for if Jesus is not God, we are worshiping in vain. Without Christ being God, we have nothing. Christ being in the form of God speaks of His unchangeable essence as God. He does not change. The Bible tells us that God does not change. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is God. That Word, in verse 14, came down, dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is Jesus Christ, God Himself. The reality that Jesus Christ is God is the foundation of Christmas, isn't it? Jesus, the Son of God, came and put on flesh. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we get to celebrate this time of year. So we see this magnitude of Christ. He is God. There's nothing greater than the reality that Jesus is God. And through the book of John, through the Gospels, we see Jesus over and over and over displaying the reality that He is God. And what happened the night He was betrayed and the trial that ensued thereafter? Questions. It's as if He was making a blasphemous statement to say, when they said, "Are you the Christ?" He basically said, "Yes." They took that as a blasphemous statement. Why? Why did they not see the magnitude of Christ? Why did they miss it? Because they were spiritually bankrupt. Because as Isaiah in chapter 6 tells us, God telling Isaiah, these people are going to see but not perceive. They're going to hear but not understand. They're going to see and hear physically but not hear and see spiritually. Oftentimes that's the case even within our group here, within Christianity. Oftentimes we are spiritually missing the point. We hear, we see, but we don't get it. Let's rely upon the reality that Jesus is God. And I trust every single one of you, you get that. But really get it to the point where it makes you in awe of who Jesus is. He's the God-man. So considering that as this man who we are looking at, this man who we are considering the example that he set before us, consider Roman numeral 2, the mindset of Christ. What was the mindset of Christ? Without understanding the magnitude of him to a degree, we really don't get his mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Word of God commands us to have the mind of Christ. Let's understand what His mind is. Think the way that Christ did. Think the way that Christ did. Christ Jesus is our model, who did not think of Himself in obedience to the Father. In His love for the Father and His creation, He surrendered His will as He conformed His will to the will of the Father. He conformed His will to the will of the Father. As we looked at last week, we considered the chart, the doulos in His relationship, being responsive to the will of another, being responsive to the will of His master. Christ was the epitome of being a doulos. He was responsive to the will of His master, the Father. And in turn, as He was responsive to the will of His Father, the Father worked through Him, serving, being responsive, being a diakonos, being a servant, being responsive to the needs of us. Aren't you so glad that God hasn't done for us what we deserve, but He's done for us what we need? He responded to our need, not our just deserts, did He? We don't get what we deserve because otherwise we'd be in hell. He's provided for what we need. And He provided that through His Son, Jesus Christ, just in the simple, I don't want to say simple, but just in the truth of our salvation. But He's also provided in Christ an example to help us be able, our need of being a servant. He's shown us, this is what it looks like. This is the heart of a servant. This is what a servant is to look like. See it in Jesus. Last week, we emphasized Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. If you follow me, you got to deny yourself. Christ sets an example. You follow me, just as I have done. He also says in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Learn as you have seen in me, do it. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Follow my lead. John chapter 13, when He washes the disciples' feet, He's like, as you have seen me do it, so you too, you do it. Follow my lead. What's Christ's mindset? Paul tells us in chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. This is what we're called to. Not be seeking self-empty praise, not seeking strife or contention, but seeking others. Others. In order to have the mindset toward others, we must have the mind of Christ. Commentator wrote these words, the only hope of a decreasing self is an increasing Christ. The only hope of a decreasing self is where Christ is increasing. Is He increasing in your life? Are you gaining a greater understanding of who Jesus is? Is He being magnified in your life? Is He being made bigger in your life? As He is made bigger in your life, you should be shrinking down. He should be coming to the forefront as we're shrinking back into the background. And that's where we find, as Christ comes into the forefront, when we're serving one another, we're being responsive to the will of our Master, we're being responsive to the needs of others, and then what happens? As Christ is being magnified, what happens? Glory comes back to God. If I'm still the one in the forefront, glory doesn't get back there. Because then I take it. And that's wrong. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The two different words that I want us to see real quickly here is conformed and transformed. We're not being called to be molded like Jesus, if you will. Understand what I'm saying here. But to have an inward change as His nature becomes our own. We don't need to be conformed to Christ. We need to be transformed into Christ. Our nature, we need to be transformed from the inside out. The transformation here is metamorphosis. We need to go through the metamorphosis process in order to be changed from being a caterpillar into looking like being a butterfly. There's a significant change. The caterpillar doesn't go into the cocoon and he's molded and shaped into a butterfly as if that could possibly fall off. No, he is truly transformed into something different. We must be transformed into something different. We must not just be conformed, just look like Christ. Because if we just look like Christ, at some point it's going to fade. When we're transformed by Christ, that doesn't fade. It doesn't fade. And we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Vital that we understand. Take on this mindset. Take on the mind of Christ. Therein lies godliness above and beyond measure. Take on the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Selfless obedience which truly glorifies God. The mindset of Christ is manifested in four different ways. He thought of others. He served others. He sacrificed for others and He glorified God. Very simply, those are what we see here in this passage. This is what Christ did. He thought of others. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. He had an other mindset. He had a servant's mindset. He had a sacrificial mindset. He had a glorifying God mindset. If we want to serve as Christ served, if we want to have the heart of a servant as Christ did, we must have these evidenced in our lives. And we will then serve in a God-glorifying way. Let's look at them. Letter A, first, Christ thinking of others. The mindset of Christ, His thinking of others. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. How is that Him thinking of others? Well, the idea there, the thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He thought it not robbery. Thought it not something that He should grasp at. He did not need to seek it to get it. He did not fear losing it. His being God was not something He sought after. It's not something that He thought that He might lose. Why? Because He was God. There's no losing it. His equality with God was not something He needed to steal in order to take possession of it, for He is God. Didn't have to rob this reality. He was God. But also, it also carries the idea of Christ's equality with God was not something that he held onto so tightly as a prized possession that he didn't allow himself to become a man. He didn't grasp it so tightly and hold on to it so dearly to say, forget it, I'm not becoming one of them. He didn't do that. He didn't fear losing his deity, because he didn't lose his deity. But he didn't keep a grasp on his own glory when he was called upon by God to step down from glory. He was responsive to the will of the Father. And in turn, he was able to respond to our need. He thought of others. He could think of others as he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In his taking on flesh, he surrendered his rights to manifest himself visibly as God in the fullness degree that he was God. As Christ stepped down from heaven, as God the Son stepped down from heaven, he emptied himself. He willingly set aside some aspects of his glory. We couldn't have beheld the glory of God to the fullest degree if he had come down in all his fullness. This is what Jesus did for us. He thought of others. This idea speaks of his attitude, that he didn't try to hang on to his divine attributes, but willingly set aside certain ones for the process of becoming a man. This is his mindset toward others. This is his mindset towards God and his mindset toward us. Question. How do you think about others? How do you think about others? Oftentimes, what could be a response? When you're called upon to do something for somebody else, I don't do that. That's not in my job description. Taking out the trash? Oh, that's somebody else does that. The maid does that. Or we do things that we say, that's beneath me. Becoming a man, in the truest sense of it, was beneath Christ, but he didn't allow that to stop him from becoming a man, did he? He became a man. He became a man. Because he wanted to respond to the need that we had, that only he could provide for it. Sometimes you and I are the only ones that God has put into place to provide for the need of someone else, and we fail to do it through the Word, through proclaiming the Gospel, through just helping out in some way, shape, or form. We need to be more thoughtful of other people. A thought of others first. Esteem others better than myself. Put others to the forefront. All fade in the background. My needs don't matter. Others' needs are most important. We need to have a selfless attitude, a selfless attitude as Christ had. So we see his thinking of others. Let's look at his serving of others. Letter B. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. See John 1:14. The Word became flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The incarnation of Christ, Jesus taking on human flesh, becoming a man. He made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself. He abandoned his sovereign position. What all did Christ do in order to serve us? He did not give up his divinity, his deity. He still was God. He could never lose that. In order for God the Son to become a man, there were certain aspects of His divinity that need to be set aside for a time. Rand Hummel writes these words, "Christ left all to become nothing." Christ left all to become nothing. He goes on to say, we are nothing. But we think we are something, don't we? We are truly nothing. But we think we're something. And we're not willing to lay aside our nothingness for others. How foolish are we? How selfish are we at times? We can't get out of our own way so that we can serve somebody else. What did Christ do for you and me? He served us. What are you unwilling to give up in order to be obedient to Christ and His Word? What are you unwilling to give up in order to be obedient to Christ and His Word? What are you unwilling to give up in order that you can be a doulos of Jesus Christ? One that's responsive to His will. We all have various things in our lives that we're unwilling to let go of that. I'm unwilling to do that. God help us. Took upon Him the form of a servant. We saw in verse 6 that He was being in the form of God. Same word here. Him being in the form of a servant, just as the natural essence of who He was, the unchanging essence of who Jesus was as God, He took on the essence of a servant. The unchanging reality that He was now a servant. That's who He was, unchanging, deep down inside. That's the reality of who He became. He took upon flesh. Took upon Him the form of a servant. The incarnation process was not just being molded like, to look like a servant. Jesus didn't just look like a servant. He was a servant to the core. He was a servant deep down to the uttermost part of His being. And that hasn't changed. Isn't that great that hasn't changed? Oop, I've done my job. Here we go. We're off to heaven. I'm good. He's still serving us. He's still serving His Father right now as He's interceding on our behalf. That's the heart of a servant. The heart of a servant doesn't change because the circumstances change. Christ was the ultimate servant leader. Dads, are you a servant leader in your home? Husbands, are you a servant leader in your home? Should be. Lead by example. As Christ led by example, we need to learn, we need to lead by example. We serve God in how we serve others. We serve God in the way we serve our wife. We serve God in the way we serve our children. We serve God in the way we serve one another. It's worship. Are you willing to serve? Christ in John chapter 13 took off His robes of the master in order to put on the robe of a servant, which is just a towel. He stepped down. He stepped off the pedestal of being the leader and the one, the teacher, just looking up to Him from this regard. Everybody looked up to Him. He stepped down and was a leader from the floor. He stepped down and was a teacher by example. What are we doing? How are we leading? How are we leading? Christ took the sin of His creation upon Himself to pay the penalty on our behalf. He willingly submitted Himself to serve His creation as He performed the only act that could guarantee eternal life for the human race. Christ had the mind of a servant. He thought of others. He served others. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin." He understands us. He knows us. Yet He was able to be sinless in the process. What is the Lord calling you to do that you are struggling to submit to? What is God calling you to do that you're struggling to submit to His will? How is He calling you to serve that you're struggling with? Respond in obedience to Him. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. His will is that you serve one another. Oftentimes we don't have the desire, the will to do that. But it's God that works in us to give us the desire to do what He's calling us to do. And then He gives us the ability to do that. The power, He empowers us to do what He's calling us to do. That's grace. That's grace. Let's humble ourselves. So we see Christ, we see His mindset, His thinking of others, His serving others. Now let's look at His sacrificing for others. In verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." His sacrificing for others. The word fashion is similar to the word form. The word form, we see that in verses 6 and 7. But the word fashion is different. It emphasizes the external. This is how people saw Him, being found in fashion as a man, just like a man. That's how they perceived Him from the outside, as a man. Most often, His deity was overlooked, was it not? Christ willingly submitted Himself in humility to live a life as the Creator in flesh. The God-man. Now as God-man, people didn't recognize His deity naturally. We see what He did in sacrificing for others. Matthew 26, verse 39 says, "And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thy will. Let Thy will be done." He died to self. He showed us how He sacrificed for others in dying to self. Are we willing to do that? In order to sacrifice for others, in order to serve others, we need to die to self. Christ did that. Not my will, Lord. Your will is most important. Your will is most important. He sacrificed Himself for others in dying as a criminal. It was between two thieves. He replaced the criminal, Barabbas. He died as a criminal. Cursed is he that hangs on a cross, hangs on a tree. He died in his dying. He died as a curse. He sacrificed greatly. Isaiah 53:7, "He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth." He sacrificed His own will. He didn't put up a defense and say, "Wait a second, this isn't fair." How often do we respond in life, "This isn't fair"? Think about this next time. Was it fair for Jesus to have to come down, humble Himself and become a man, and die for the sins of people who hated Him? Was it fair what happened to Christ? Life's not fair. Let's understand, life is not fair. God didn't design life to be fair, did He? God
God designed us in such a way as to submit to Him, and whatever happens to us is right, so that we may honor and glorify Him, to help draw us closer, to help show us who He is. It's not about fairness. We're seeking fairness. Life's not going to be fair. It just isn't. Really, we're getting better than what we deserve. Are we not? It wasn't enough for Christ, the Creator, the Holy One, to suffer and die at the hands of His creation. He came down. It wasn't enough for Him to just become a man. He also suffered at the hands of His creation. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. The way in which He died. Crucifixion, the worst form of death known to man. It has been said that to die a crucifixion death is to die 1,000 deaths before you die. Wow. Jesus went through that for us. But also one thing we often overlook is the fact that He allowed His relationship, His fellowship with God to be severed for a moment. For those 3 hours that He was on the cross, being sin for us who knew no sin, His Father had to turn His back upon Him. He sacrificed that fellowship that He had for eternity past, always seeking to do the will of His Father, being in right fellowship with His Father. And when He became sin for us, He was still doing the will of His Father, but His Father could not look upon Him at that time. He went through something. He went through enduring the wrath of God so that we will never have to endure that wrath. What did Jesus do for you? He sacrificed Himself for you, showing His serving you, showing how much He loved you. He had you in His mind. Verses 9 through 11. Let's look at the motive of Christ. The motive of Christ is that He desired to glorify God. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to what? Why? The glory of God the Father. The motive of Christ was to glorify God. John chapter 17, if you look there, the great high priestly prayer is Jesus is, on the night in which He was betrayed, He's praying to God on behalf of His disciples and on our behalf. In verse 20, he says, I pray for those that will believe. That's you and me. You and I were on the heart of Christ, on the mind of Christ in the night in which He was betrayed. You realize that? He was thinking of you and me the night that He was crucified, that He was betrayed and going through the trial. He had you on His mind. He prayed for you right then and there. First prayer you've ever had, long before you existed. John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son. Why? Why did Jesus ask to be glorified? So that His Father would be glorified. The end result, the end game was always God being glorified. It was always God being glorified. The motive of Christ was to glorify God. Verse 4, He says, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Lord, I've been obedient to You. Father, I've been obedient to You. Verse 6, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. I have manifested Thy name, Lord. I've glorified You, Father. That was His desire. That's all that He wanted to do was glorify God, and serving us was a way to glorify God. When we serve one another, As we go through this life, oftentimes our serving one another isn't for the honor and glory of God. It's out of duty. I serve my kids because I have to. Well, you shouldn't have had them then. I serve my wife because I have to. Well, you shouldn't have married her if that's going to be the outlook that we have going through life as a Christian. It's a privilege that you are married. It's a privilege that you have a wife, you have a husband. It's a privilege that you have children. It's a privilege that you get to serve. We get to do something that Christ did. We get to serve one another. We get to have this outlook on other people. To say, there is a need and God wants me to fill it. We get to do this. Oh, if we would have that mindset. Oh, if we would live with that mindset. Because then, and only then, will God be honored and glorified when you're cleaning the toilets and you're washing out, taking out the garbage, when you're doing the dishes, when you're doing all those household chores, when you're doing those things at church or at your job or whatever the case is. If you can worship God in doing everything that you do, God is honored and glorified as sacrifice Himself. Because I don't want to do that, do I? Neither do you. There's those jobs that we just don't want to do. I don't want to live this life sometimes the way God ordains it for me. Do you? You want to have that flat tire when you have it? That always comes at the worst possible time, doesn't it? Submission to the will of God. Sacrificing self, serving others, thinking of others, all to the glory of God. How are we doing? Biblically, humility leads to glory. Joseph, sold into slavery for 13 years, he serves. Then he's elevated to second command, where he continues to serve, but from a glorified standpoint. He didn't stop serving once he got elevated. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves to others with the mindset of thinking of other people. Humble ourselves in order to serve other people. Humble ourselves. Sacrifice yourself. Glorify God. Jesus witnesses this publican standing afar off, would not even lift up as much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What does Jesus say about him? Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee, who said, I'm glad I'm not like that Pharisee. He had an other mindset, but it was the wrong kind of others. It was a demeaning look upon others. We need to have an esteeming look of others. Elevate others. Don't demean them. If you elevate others, you can come and serve them, can't you? If you demean others, you can't get low enough to serve them. Because we serve people that are in our mindset, in our natural mindset, we serve people that are above us. What is God calling us to do? Get them above you. Get them in a position that you're going to naturally serve them. Esteem them. Stop demeaning them. We see the publican here. He humbled himself. Christ exalted him, didn't he? We have account of him. He's in Scripture. This man humbled himself and Jesus said, that's what I want to see. That is right. He was justified when he went home. That is the way it is. There was an exaltation of this man because of humility. What a beautiful reality. Pray that we see this. It's on the back of your outline. I just wrote these out there for you. When you consider Philippians 2:9-11. It is important to point out the simple truth stated here. All creation will bow before Christ Jesus. All creation will confess Him to be Lord of all. The timing of this is important. If a soul bows in humble worship and calls upon Christ to be his Lord in this life, he will spend eternity with Christ in heaven. Humility on earth equals exaltation in heaven. If a soul waits and refuses to bow while here on earth, he will bow as he kneels in judgment before the righteous and just God, who will have given him a lifetime of grace to bow his knee, yet now he must receive the earthly desire of his soul as he ushers him into his eternal damnation. The earthly desire was, I don't want God. And God says, okay, you got your way. Judgment. You don't have me for eternity. Separation from God. Self-exaltation on earth equals eternal humbling in hell. What a reality. What a reality. I trust you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you can be in that first category. So, coming up on Christmas, celebrate the birth of the King. Are you going to celebrate Jesus? Is He your most precious gift that's under the tree? Is He your most precious gift? Christmas time. Christ came to live a life, to show us how to live, to give us life. What kind of mindset do we have? Christ has given us this gift of eternal life. He's given us this gift of following in His footsteps. Coming up to the new year, we always, most people, it seems, try these New Year's resolutions. Well, how about let's resolve to live for Christ? Don't wait till January 1st. Do it today. Resolve to have the other mindset that Christ had. Resolve to serve one another that Christ did. Resolve to sacrifice yourself, your will, to the will of the Father. Resolve to glorify God. We do that? As a church, how do we want to look? Do we want to look like a church that just is going through the motions? Or do we want to look like a church that loves Jesus? That loves God beyond anything else? That wants to share their faith with other people because I get to, because it's exciting to me. Look at what God has done for me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we are called to do. Jesus, again, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. He also says in Matthew 16:24, He said this to the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Are you willing to deny yourself so that you can have an other mindset? So that you can have a servant mindset? So you can have a sacrificial mindset? So you can have a mindset that brings honor and glory to God? Deny self. If you never deny self, God is robbed of glory that He deserves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, help us. We desperately need You, Lord. Lord, I pray that You would come upon us mightily as You have spoken to our heart from Your Word this morning. As Your Holy Spirit has brought conviction upon us, as You stirred our hearts, Lord, may we not leave from here being the same as when we came in. But may we be changed as we receive Your truth to our heart, as we take the message with us and meditate upon it. Where You are calling us to humble ourselves, help us, Lord, to be humble. Where You are calling us, Lord, to submit, help us to submit. Lord, be Thou exalted, I pray. Be high and lifted up. Help us to follow the example that Your Son set before us. We thank You and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.